It's been about a week since I've been in this studio, and, well, some things were had to be fixed, had to make sure that I heard AMAC say, "You're hot," which he did, and I appreciate. I don't know if I agree, but I appreciate. It's great to see Mad Max in your Pardon My Cheesesteak shirt, tie-dye shirt. Now, that might be the funniest thing that that those guys have done. Da-dum-bum. AMAC and his Malik neighbors, week one, Giants jersey and Giants hat.
Yeah.
And Cowboy B studiously burning a hole through the computer monitor, wondering just how bad it's going to be. In about 31 hours. But it's great to see all of you. It's great to be back home. It's been since last Thursday, I think, that I was here. Worked from home a couple of days because of the new car situation. I have some stories on that. When we can fit them in, hopefully today. If not, you know, whatever. We will get to that. There is a lot to talk about on this Wednesday before week one. Now, we did some of our game preview, obviously, tomorrow. I don't do like some extensive, exhaustive list. I give you a couple of things to bite on, a couple of things to chew on. You know how important special teams are. The Commanders simply cannot have any bleep-ups on special teams on Sunday. And that means Matt Gay missing easily makeable field goals, not 60-yard field goals. That's different. But easy is anything. I'll be nice and say 50 and in. You know, he's got some issues from 50-plus. Kickoff coverage is going to be a major, major, major thing and concern. I got it. Run defense, we know. Malik Nabers, who's a little bit banged up, we know. The veteran savvy of Russell Wilson. The last time he was at Northwest Stadium, albeit against a very different defense, what did Russell Wilson do? Can Jaden Daniels repeat his rookie year or even take a step forward? Is the offensive line significantly better or marginally better? Is the run game better? Period. Is Noah Brown going to stay healthy? How good can Jalen Lane be, and how quickly? Are they ever going to get anything out of Luke McCaffrey as a receiver? All of these questions, we touched on most of them. Yesterday, we will tackle the rest of them throughout the week. And we will go from there. Again, I'm not sitting here trying to tell you I know everything, but I know a good amount, a darn good amount. And I promise you, if you stay with us and if you listen, you will be better off for it. It will help you. It will help your knowledge. It will help your entertainment value. It will help your gambling exploits. And it will help us do a better show when you call it at 301-230-0980. Now, that being said, got some things du jour to get to. Because we are, right now, with the Nationals underway against the Marlins, looking for a sweep. We are the only sports talk radio show in town, baby, on the air. So there's only one spot for you to go. It's right here. And the Giant fan, wearing his Giant gear, is going to be answering the phone. So you make sure you say hello to AMAC, and you say, what? Screw the Giants? Bleep the Giants? Go Big Blue? Whatever you want to say. But you notice, I often get accused of being a Giants fan. You notice maybe you haven't noticed this because you can't see me right now. I'm not wearing any Giants gear. There's only one of the two of us that are wearing Giants gear. Only one. And it ain't me. It's not me. So at 107 on a, what is day is this? Wednesday afternoon, maybe. Realize that. And acknowledge me on that. Okay? There's only one of us that do this show on a regular basis that want the Commanders to win. And it's not AMAC. That doesn't leave you with many other choices. Hell, it's not even Cowboy B. He doesn't want the freaking Commanders to win. All he cares about is the Cowboys not getting embarrassed tomorrow night. By the way, we will have our NFC conference picks tomorrow. We will have our AFC conference picks on Friday in advance of the AFC opener in Sao Paulo, Brazil, because the NFL just can't wait to fill up every single hole on the calendar between the Chiefs and the Chargers. Of course, tomorrow night is the Cowboys and the Eagles. So that's why we'll do the NFC tomorrow, the AFC on Friday. You see how that works, boys and girls, children of all ages? I know. You don't need that explained to you. I got you covered. Papa Rooster's got you covered. Today, one of the things I wanted to get into. Yesterday, we talked about what do you fear the most about week one. And my point was the pass rush of the Giants, the fearsome foursome. Granted, they haven't all done it on the NFL level. I got it. Granted, they might be a little bit overrated. I got it. However, we don't know how good they're going to be until we see it in action. And the first time we get to see it in action is Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock at Northwest Stadium in a divisional game in the season opener. A game, oh, by the way, that a lot of people have circled as, hey, potential upset city. Potential upset city. Or they have circled the Giants as potential sleeper. Team that didn't make the playoffs last year. Team that could make the playoffs this year. Team that is way better than the outside world thinks. A lot of people have circled the wagon for the New York Giants, for Big Blue, the week one opponent. But I want to try a positive spin first to the show today. Then we'll get negative in the 2 o'clock hour. What is the thing that you are most confident in Sunday? Non-Jaden Daniels division, because we all understand that most people are going to pick, think, predict, whatever you want to call it, that Jaden Daniels is the reason why the Commanders have a good, great, very good, depending on how what your perspective is, chance to win that game. This is week one. This is not the whole season. Week one against the New York Giants. What gives you the most confidence on Sunday afternoon? What gives you the most confidence on Sunday afternoon besides Jaden? We understand Jaden. Besides Jaden, you got to come up with something else besides Jaden at 301-230-0980. If you want to send it to me via tweet or X, it's at WrestleMania621. At WrestleMania621. What gives me the most confidence on Sunday? And again, this is week one. You know what I said gives me the most fear. If I'm telling you that Jaden Daniels is a besides, not a that is the answer. Again, he's on the one line, 1B, 1A, however you want to kind of color that. I'm looking for the other thing. I'm looking for the other element. And I thought about the Commanders' run game. And I almost picked that. Because I truly do think it will be better and more consistent this year. I thought about that. But here's the problem. I don't know if Bill's going to be active on Sunday. You don't know. I don't know. Coach Sheehan doesn't know. John Kime doesn't know. Nicky Jabala doesn't know. Ben Standig doesn't know. Mad Max doesn't know. I don't even know if Bill knows. And maybe Anthony Lynn and Cliff Kingsbury don't know. I don't know. I would imagine they have a pretty darn good idea. So here's the reason why I backed off of that. If Bill is down, and the reason why I keep saying Bill over Rodriguez is because Rodriguez has more experience. And I think at this point is probably and slightly not a huge Clinton Portis-esque difference, is probably the better pass protector, is probably the better receiver than Bill is at this point. Bill, again, didn't play a lot of football last year. And then Bill wound up, what? Not playing a whole lot in the preseason. He played certainly more than others, but it's not like Bill played a lot to get the lather going. He played some, but not a lot. That being said, again, as we talked about yesterday, as we talked about for several days last week, it is very likely that if the Commanders operate like they did last year, that only three running backs are going to be active. Now, that could change, which is why I've said, I don't know, neither do you and neither does anybody, whether they have now evolved to four running backs on the active game day roster. Not on the 53, on the active game day roster. Have they gone from a primary base of three last year to four? Is that a week-to-week thing? Is that an injury thing? Is that a, hey man, week two, we might do something different than we did in week one because it's a short week, because it's on the road, blah, blah, blah. Which I think is entirely possible. Just like I think it's entirely possible, and it'll be disappointing to fans if Bill isn't active on Sunday, and especially if the running game struggles. Well, why did you not? Well, here's why. There's only so many spots. You have to fill out, what is it, a 46-man game roster, whatever the hell it is, right? There's different rules, different numbers. I'm not wasting any time on that. The bottom line is, all of last year, they went with three. So unless they've had a complete philosophical divide or change, I should say, the likelihood is that they go with three. Then the likelihood is they don't go with Bill. Because I think McNichols, Eckler are shoo-ins. A, they can help you on special teams even though you don't want Eckler returning kicks. At least I don't. That's what Luke McCaffrey is there for. Please do that. If he's active. But he might not be active. See, that's the thing. That's the rub. If Eckler or if McCaffrey as a fifth receiver right now is not active, do you have to have Eckler return kicks? Because you know Jalen Lane is going to return punts. Right? We could talk about other scenarios, but you know that. So I didn't choose running back as to what I'm most confident in or the run game because I don't know what they're going to do with Bill. If I know Bill's going to be active, if I know Bill's going to play, if I know they're probably going to split the carries between Bill and Rodriguez and then splice in Eckler on jet sweeps and maybe an occasional handoff or whatever, and again, McNichols, so on and so forth, because McNichols can turn the corner, as we saw against Arizona and other times last year. If I knew that, I would probably pick that, but I don't know that, and I'm being honest. I thought about the secondary, the revamped secondary, but Trey Amos is a rookie who dealt with a little bit of a nagging injury in camp. Had a great camp, but it cost him game time. Now, Malik Nabers is banged up. The Giants are not loaded by any stretch at wide receiver outside of Malik Nabers. But what we have here is a situation where you can have Amos having to go up against Malik Nabers, depending on how Joe Witt deploys his defense, depending on whether it's man zone, depending on what side and where Malik Nabers lines up. And again, Malik Nabers is a little bit banged up coming into this game. Should play. I can't imagine that he doesn't, but he should play. But you also have Wandale Robinson. You also have Darius Slayton. You also have Jalin Hyatt. You have those guys, along with, you know, obviously Theo Johnson, who we talked a little bit about yesterday, who I'm high on, and I think is going to have a really good year. But that's what you have. That's what you have to go against. And I thought, again, secondary. I've been high on the secondary all offseason camp. You know, I like Will Harris. You know, I like Quan Martin. Marshawn Lattimore has been healthy, playing real well. Obviously, we know Sanders still's a bulldog, playing in his natural slot. Amos has had a great camp, great preseason, but, again, was a little bit banged up, so he missed some time, or he missed some game reps, right? So, is that a great pick? Well, you could go there, and you could feel confident. So I said, well, where do I go with this? Obviously, I don't feel great about the offensive line. Even though I don't think they're going to get dominated, I don't feel great. That's a ferocious pass rush with Lawrence, Burns, Abdul Carter, and more. Thibodeau as well. And don't forget, Bobby Okereke has caused the Commanders or the Washington football team some issues. Bobby Okereke. I mean, you could see some twist stunts, you could see some double A gap blitzes, all that stuff, right? Because everybody is going to be focused on those four. And those four are not going to be out there every snap, obviously. But you can rotate in and you can keep them fresh in week one so that they're not exhausted in the fourth quarter, especially if it's warm on Sunday. I haven't even checked the forecast. So here's where I'm at. I thought, wait a second. This show, sometimes, not all the time, is about zagging when people are zigging. Right? That's what I thought about. So how could we create something that might get people in a lather, but that I genuinely believe? Well, it's a good thing you asked that. So at 120 and change, I say, for this week, for week one against the New York Giants, for this week, I am most confident. Say it! In the Commanders' run defense. Why? I'll tell you next. On the Team 980, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Again, we're the only show in town right now. Come and join us. Talk about the burgundy and gold versus the G-Man in week one. What are you most confident in week one, non-Jaden Daniels division? You tell me at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. All right, so what are you most confident in week one edition for the Commanders, non-Jaden Daniels division, of course? Everybody can answer Jaden Daniels. We acknowledge that Jaden Daniels gives you the most confidence, right? That's boring. Nobody cares. We know. We understand. He's great. right? That doesn't mean he's always going to be great, but he's great. He'll figure it out. Doesn't mean he's always going to throw for 275 and run all over the place. Doesn't mean any of that. But what are you most confident in? I said, not the run game, because I don't know if Bill's going to play. I said, not the secondary, because Amos was a little bit banged up. He should be fine. He'll be fine. But maybe he missed some reps. You got Malik Nabers. You got Theo Johnson. You got a couple of decent receivers in Wandale Robinson, so on and so forth. So I could have gone secondary, and I thought about that. I could have gone run game, and I thought about that. But again, I outlined why I didn't do that. So, again, I like to zag when you like to zig. And I thought, hey, you know, let's think about this. The Commanders' run defense has been torn to shreds over the offseason and throughout last year. They don't set the edge. They don't get off of double teams. They don't do this. They don't do that. And a lot of that was true. But what they did do was improve it. What they did do was get different body types. What they did do was improve the overall depth. What they have done is improve their run defense. They can now anchor a little bit better. They can now take on double teams a little bit better. They can now, hopefully, as a tandem, as a group, with depth, sustain themselves a little bit better. They can be better on first down. We're going to give you some numbers on that. And then, because this is a 4 week one question, you have to look at the opponent and say, hey, man, Tyrann Tracy's pretty good. I like him. I think he's a good player. And you're not wrong. You are not wrong. But what I would say is this. While Tyrann Tracy can hurt you and certainly showed some flashes last year for a fifth-round pick, I'm not going to deny that at all, period, in any way, shape, or form. What I am going to tell you, is that if you worry about running backs on your schedule, you should be worried about what's ahead on a short week, week two. You should be what's ahead week three, week four, Bijan Robinson. That's what you should be worried about. If there's ever a game that you're going to stop the run, especially in the first month of the season, let's be honest. It's got to be Tyrann Tracy and the Giants. You don't have a big-time running quarterback anymore in Russell Wilson. Sure, you got Cam Scadabo, the rookie out of Arizona State, and certainly he can contribute. It's not just Tyrann Tracy. But let's be honest. Tyrann Tracy, last year, nearly 200 carries, 839 yards, a 4.4 average, fine. Five touchdowns, fine. 28 catches, 284 yards. That's as a receiver. We're not talking about that. He had five fumbles and lost two of them. And that might be a way, boys and girls, that you level the playing field as well. I am most confident for this week and this week only. Legs fresh. Depth. Hearing it all offseason. The new additions that they made. Javon Kinlaw, Eddie Goldman, Dietrich Wise. Couple of the guys coming back. No Dante Fowler. No Jonathan Allen. Two lighter in the pants type guys. I am most confident. What? Light? They are. Nothing nefarious about that.
No, I'm sorry. I saw your Phil Steele magazine. We have him on the show a lot on College Sports Radio. So I was just like,
we should get him on this show.
Okay.
I mean, that's what we should do.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I love Phil Steele. It's great. I mean, it is a Bible of college football information.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of information in this thing is absolutely sick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But that being said, I am most confident in the Commanders' run defense this week. And I understand that is going to be where most of you say you are least confident or most worried. Think about it, boys and girls. Think about it. That question, that answer, might rear its ugly head on Sunday. And if it does, it's bad. No disrespect to Tyrone Tracy and Cam Scatabo. But it's not. It's not Jacobs in Green Bay. It's not. Good Lord, I get so many scam calls now. I know somebody's got my number, and with all this car nonsense, they just call all day long, and I block every damn last one of you bastards. And you just keep figuring out how to call during my stupid radio show. Anyway, it's not Jacobs in Green Bay. It's not Ashton Jeanty in week 3. It's not Bijan Robinson in week 4. It's Tyrone Tracy and Cam Scatabo and a non-mobile quarterback. I feel most confident in the Commanders' run defense against the Giants in week 1. What do you feel most confident in? Your call's coming straight ahead. We'll start in the leadoff spot with DC and Waldorf after a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980. Dan Quinn addressing the media last hour, as you heard here live on the Team 980 during Kevin's show, and he said Terry McLaurin is up to full speed in terms of reps, along with Brandon Coleman. Obviously, we don't know exactly the game plan and the usage, but certainly that is a good sign for those two individuals. One was dealing with an injury but returned against Baltimore for a series or two in the final preseason game, and Coleman, the new left guard. And obviously, Terry McLaurin has been practicing for the last week and change. Season opener, Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, as the Giants and the Commanders get together at Northwest Stadium. Meanwhile, the Jets have already been dealt a very tough injury. One of their best offensive linemen, former first-round pick Elijah Vera Tucker, has a serious arm injury that could require surgery, so says Adam Schefter of ESPN, and obviously that could knock him out for a long time this year, if not the entire year. He has battled some injuries. Meanwhile, the Nationals are already looking for the sweep today here in the Navy Yard and looking good. 3-0 for the Natty Nats over the Miami Marlins, bottom of the second inning. The Orioles and the Padres coming up at 4:10. Mets and Detroit underway as well in Detroit. 0-0 there in the second inning, and that's what's trending. All right, everybody, welcome back. Good to have you with us right here on the Team 980. We are brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store on everything for your business. And right now at Staples, save up to $125 off of your print order. Exclusions do apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends 9/13. And save even more with the Easy Rewards program at Staples. All right, good to have you with us. What are you most confident in on Sunday against the Giants? Let's get out to you on the phones. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Let's start with, you're going to have to help me again here, AMAC. We still haven't fixed this computer. Line 1, DC and Waldorf on the Team 980. What's up, DC? How are you, pal?
Excellent, Russell. How you been?
I'm doing okay. Been a while since we've heard your voice. How you been?
Yeah, man, I've been good, but the contract talk was giving me headaches, man. So I just took a break, man.
You know who was giving headaches to as well? Who couldn't take a break?
Terry McLaurin.
Well, no, me. I don't care about Terry McLaurin. No, I do care about Terry McLaurin. I do care about Terry McLaurin. Terry's one of my favorites. But you know what I'm saying.
No, definitely. You was on top of it, man. You had to jump on every lead you got, huh?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Man, but what I'm confident on Sunday that'll get us the win, man, is I listened to the coaches this off season and the continuity that we had. Kingsbury came back, Joe Witt is still here, and they both had introspection. I seen Kingsbury drop that note on the desk because he knew he needed to upgrade his O-line so he could help the best asset on the team. And then Joe Witt talked about, you know, instead of micromanaging, macro managing, and I think those guys that he got in those positions, Tap and who is that with the corners? I think they're gonna have them dudes playing at a level they supposed to. Mm-hmm. You know, the way we did.
Jason Simmons, year. you're talking about the position coach at corner, right?
Yeah,
Jason Simmons. Yeah.
Yeah, Jason Simmons, and stopping the run, we got, you know, Adam Peters got the guys we need up front, and I think that's, along with the coaching staff having an introspection of our weaknesses and our strengths, it's going to show up in the game on game day.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, DC, and this is why I brought up the point is, yes, they're no dummies. They understand how bad their run defense was last year, and Dan Quinn has had a problem for a couple of years now, dating back to his days in Dallas. It's a problem. Right. So they decided, hey, we have got to fix it with more than just scheme. That's not the fix. The fix is the type of bodies that we've been using, lighter, quicker, more explosive. Right. And we've got to anchor. We've got to bulk up. We've got to thicken up. We've got to be a little bit harder to move out of the hole. Will it work? I don't know. I have no idea. Long term, I don't know. For this term, for this week, I feel fairly confident about it. A, because you're not dealing with a Lamar Jackson or Jaden Daniels-esque quarterback, obviously.
Right.
And two, you're dealing with, like, again, Tyrone Tracy. I'm not trying to be mean. He's a fine running back. He's a good young back. He's not an explosive Ashton Jeanty, Bijan Robinson type back. So that's why I'm kind of going there.
But Russell, this is. I like that you said that because it's intriguing. Now, if you look what they did, they went and got Javon Kinlaw, which has a little bit of speed and power. But if he's out there rushing with Payne or Johnny Newton, he's gonna have to take up two blockers, and he has the strength to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like where John Allen and Payne and Johnny Newton, they pretty much were all the same guy. They wanted to shoot the gaps
right.
And get to places quick. They got somebody that's strong in power that can anchor on the defensive end, just like they got a young guy that is quick that can get out and block on those receiver screens. But also, they went and got LT, Laramie Tunsil, so he can show up that backside. Brandon Coleman did good, but we can use his power on the inside. So
right.
I think all of those things, they're going to put it together to where – Whatever the lack was, we got the people to fill it, but we also have the complementary things or pieces to go with it, and the coaches know that. That's how they're going to work it, you know?
I got you. Always great to hear from you, brother. Thank you.
You know, Russell, have a great day.
Happy football season to you, my guy, DC and Waldorf. Let's get to Lappy here on line 2, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I asked you yesterday, what are you most fearful about for week one? I'm asking you today, what are you most confident in for week one? I know Lap's going to answer the question. What's up, Lap? How are you?
What's up, Rooster? I'm confident in the offense, man. I think, you know, Jaden went against some good defenses last year, especially Tennessee. They was a top-ranked defense last year, and we destroyed them. So I know everybody's concerned about Giants front seven, but Jaden and Ben against some top defenses last year. So he's going to be fine. As long as he ain't got to be superhero out there, hopefully they got all the pieces he need. You know, hopefully the offensive line and the receivers are good. Hey, Rooster, do you think we should have got six or seven receivers instead of five? Because I'm a little concerned with, you know, hopefully Debo stay healthy, but he's always injured. Noah's always injured. You know, maybe Lang and McCaffrey will really be an integral part of this offense.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I mean, you know, like before the cutdown, I thought it was going to be five receivers if Noah Brown was healthy. And as soon as I saw Noah Brown running and cutting before the Baltimore game, I said, all right. He looks pretty close if he's not ready to come back. So I thought, even though he's always hurt and even though he's always injured, you might be able to get away with five. And that's how it turned out. So is that the right answer? I don't know is my answer. I think it is. I don't know that it is. But here's what I would say. they have to be concerned to some degree because they worked out Kendrick Bourne yesterday. Now, they haven't signed him yet, but they did yesterday, right? Because you have unknowns in Jalen Lane. You have unknowns in Luke McCaffrey. You think you have knowns in Noah, Terry, and Debo, but as you mentioned, the injury history for both Noah and Debo make it somewhat of an unknown. Now, the one thing that I would also say is they kept a couple of guys on their practice squad, most notably Ja'Cory Brooks, so that they could elevate those guys on game day, one, a couple of times with the rules. Two, they could elevate them to the 53 if an injury or something comes up or if they want to make a change. And, again, they worked out Kendrick Bourne yesterday. Remember, just because they haven't signed him yet doesn't mean they're not going to sign him next week, later on this week, Saturday, whatever the case might be. I think we lost Lab. I had such a great answer. I think we lost Lab. That's what we do here, people. We give you great answers. We don't give you cookie-cutter radio. No! We give you great answers. Detail. Depth. I am most confident in the Commanders' run defense. Am I nuts? Am I nuts? We'll ask the resident Giant fan that next on the Team 980. Streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. All right, we're leading you up till 4 o'clock overall. 2 o'clock straight ahead, 10 minutes away, here in the nation's capital and beyond. The DOC is in the house. Maybe we'll grab the old doctor. We used to do this thing on Tuesdays, but today's a Wednesday. So you get 3 hours of Doc by himself. Starting at 4 on Burgundy and Gold today. I guess the big fella is on special assignment, as Doc likes to say. So Doc coming up in 2+ hours, but maybe we'll try and rope him in here before the show at some point that fits his very, very, very busy schedule. So again, what are you most optimistic about? Coming up next hour, I'm going to tell you somebody that isn't optimistic. Whoa! Heard this on the way in on the Kevin Sheehan extravaganza. And I was like, whoa! It's a hootenanny, baby. So I'm going to ask the resident Giant fan, the guy who is dressed in Giant blue, today,
Malik Nabers, baby.
What's that?
Malik Nabers, baby.
Oh. Are you predicting a Malik Nabers 100-plus yard day?
Yeah, I don't want to come up with any bold and brass predictions for week one. I think the offense will look a lot different, which is one thing that I will say. Like, with Russell Wilson and a different offensive line, I think Daboll being – I really respect him as an offensive play caller.
But he's not calling the plays, right? Kafka is, isn't he? I thought they decided to go back to Kafka. I got to double check that, but I thought that was the case. If anybody knows.
He's been calling the plays for the preseason game.
Who, Dable or Kafka?
No, Kafka.
Oh, I thought they said you might be right, but I thought they said for the regular season.
I think you are right. I'm unsure. Let me just say that.
All right.
I'll go ahead and unsure. But regardless, it's usually Daboll who's kind of installing the game plan, who's kind of setting up, and from there, Kafka is calling the plays. And I think with Russell Wilson now at quarterback, I think the offense will look a lot different. Whether that means 100 yards for Malik Nabers, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. Listen, I would say for me, I would be surprised if Malik Nabers, who's a little bit banged up, right?
He's been banged up since last year. It's a toe injury.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's just like he's going to play.
Yes.
But you just don't know how it might affect him. What if he tweaks it or whatever? Okay, but you just throw that out there. But expect Malik Nabers to be at or close to 100%. That's what I'm going in. That being said, I think against this revamped, improved secondary, unless there's one big bust in coverage, somebody slips, somebody collides, somebody has a huge mistake, mental communication, whatever. I don't think Malik Nabers is going to dominate this game. But I think Malik Nabers is going to be fed 8 to 10 targets. I think Malik Nabers is going to get his catches, 6, 7, 8 catches. I think Malik Nabers is going to be a factor. I just don't know if he's going to be a dominant factor because, as we've talked about throughout the offseason, there is no Benjamin St. Juice, there is no Emmanuel Forbes, there is no Michael Davis. And remember, in that Week 2 game, he torched Michael Davis early, and they had to get Davis out of that game because he literally could not tackle him. And they put, I think if I'm remembering, St. Juice in there, and that made a little bit of a difference. But I can't remember if that's...
That was kind of like his coming out party, I'm not going to lie.
Week two game. Yes, yeah, but again, a lot of the damage was against Michael Davis, who was only here 1 year and hard, you know, he did come back and he got benched during that game. He came back later in the year and played because they had nobody. But my point being is they are so much better across the board just at the three corner primary corner positions and depth if somebody gets injured or whatever, the Commanders meaning, that I don't see Malik Nabers going off in this game unless there's an awful slip or collision or something like that. But I think he's going to probably have 75, 80, 85 yards, maybe a score, maybe 6, 7 catches, whatever it is. The key is, for me, limiting that, also making sure somebody else, again, doesn't go ham sandwich on you, a Theo Johnson or somebody like that. Now, that being said, I ask you, our resident Giant fan, dressed in Giant blue, in Malik Nabers' Giant blue, with your Giants hat on, and you are very excited for Week 1, am I nuts for saying that the Commanders' run defense gives me confidence this week?
No, I don't think so.
Why?
Because our offensive line still seems like a point that needs to be addressed early on throughout preseason.
When you say our offensive line, just for the record, you're talking about the Giants, not mine and yours. We are not a tag team. I mean, we're a tag team on this show.
I'm so used to us talking about our Giants off the air.
Right.
I'm sorry.
We are a tandem on the show. We are a tag team on the show. We are not. But.
Yeah, I didn't mean to talk about your Giants fandom. I'm sorry. I know we had that.
Doc already is stirring the hornet's nest out with Darius Dameron in the bullpen. He's like, yeah, we got our Giants, Jets, and Bills fan and any other team in New York that they put. I'm like, Doc, come on. Like, stop busting my chops. No, right. When you say our, you're speaking as a Giants fan about your team.
Yes. Right. Wink, wink.
Right.
Wink, wink. Right. Not me and you. Wink, wink.
Sure. Absolutely.
But, yeah, I think our offensive line, especially interior and on the interior, still needs addressing. Still seems like a bit of a concern. And, I don't know. I mean, your run defense is still – I don't know how you guys necessarily address that as well. But I think if there's any area, especially on the defensive side – you already talked about Malik Nabers and kind of how you guys revamped that. I don't know why you wouldn't lean that way too, but you know, I don't know. There's so much. It's week one, especially with my Giants. There's so much that has turned around and so much that is different compared to last year. There's a lot of questions. I don't think you're crazy for saying that. I can see where you can go other ways, but I don't know if either of us has a clear edge in anyone. I'm certainly not confident as a fan, like saying, oh, we're going to crush the Commanders.
Well, you shouldn't. I mean, but you should be able to sit here and say, you know what? I think it's going to be a damn close game, and I think it's going to be anybody's game midway through the fourth quarter.
Yes.
I think that's more than reasonable and more than fair. And if Paulie, who got mad at me yesterday for intelligently talking about the Giants, right? You remember that? You weren't here yesterday. Yeah. It was medical. Sorry, because I wasn't here. Whatever. So he got mad at me for intelligently talking about the Giants. If he can't acknowledge that, that's a Paulie problem, or that's a Commander fan problem. That's not a realistic, smart NFL problem. I think this game can be up for grabs midway through the fourth quarter. Who will win it? We'll obviously have an official pick later on in the year. We'll have our NFC projections tomorrow before the NFC opener and therefore the NFL season opener. Coming up to next, more of your phone calls. I see Tony in D.C. Tony, hang on. I'll get to you right after the top of the hour. And Nikki Chavala of The Athletic put something together that made me go, huh? Really? We'll discuss next with you on the Team 980, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Stay with us.